Hello, welcome to episode 31 of Born to Thrive with Jamie Lee. I'm your host and coach, Jamie Lee. My mission is to help ambitious people like you become bolder, braver, and better paid. I believe that negotiation skills are leadership skills and that good negotiators lead the conversation and good leaders negotiate. And today, I have a really powerful conversation that I'm really happy to share with you. It's an interview I did with Jay Fields. And in this interview, we talked about the big F. Yes, feelings. And we talked about the power of emotions, the impact emotions have on our bodies, on our brains, on our nervous system, and in our reactions or in our behaviors. And I think it's so important to acknowledge, to accept, and to manage emotions in order to become a better negotiator and in order to become a better leader. And so I hope you find this conversation useful and use the tools that Jay shares with us, because I certainly have, and I have used them to do better in my public speaking. I've used them to improve my coaching. I've used these tools to improve my negotiation. And I've used these tools even at home to deal with, conversations, sticky situations in my interpersonal relationships. To learn more about me and my services, please visit jamieleecoach.com. And I hope you enjoy this interview. Jay Fields is a somatic educator, therapeutic coach, and author of the book Teaching People, Not Poses. Jay is unique in that she teaches women how to regulate their nervous systems and have empathy for themselves so that they can manage anxiety and difficult emotions and stay connected, engaged with the people and projects they work with. So without further ado, here's the interview with Jay Fields. Hi, Jay.
Hey, Jamie.
Thanks again.
Yeah.
This is our second time trying this recording. Thanks for making the time.
Of course.
And I'm really excited to talk to you about how to deal with the anxiety that arises in the moment of negotiation. Because I think that's the really tough part, preparing, coming up with script. It's not so hard, but actually dealing with that negative emotion in the face of pushback or the first sign of pushback. And so I want to ask you, what do you have in terms of strategies that you can advise our listeners how to communicate with clarity and conviction that makes it easy for people to connect with the other side?
Right. Yeah. I hear you. It's even if you have the script, it doesn't necessarily make it easy. So before I answer that question, let me put what I'm going to say into some context. So anxiety and emotions, other emotions, are felt sensations that we have in our body that then our brain and our skull interprets. Okay. And so that means, like, for example, you get a tightness in your chest and you interpret that as I'm scared. And what happens then is if you're unaccustomed to being in tune with your body and or you're not willing to have an emotion in the time that it's coming up, such as it will affect your nervous system. So your nervous system is the brain in your body, right? And what usually happens is either there's the fight flight response that revs up the nervous system. You get that amped feeling in your body, or there's the freeze or sometimes called collapse response where your body just kind of flatlines, your energy flatlines, you numb out. And either way, it feels hard to gather your thoughts. It's hard to say a sentence clearly, to make sense. And so I bring that up because when we talk about managing anxiety or managing emotions, especially in the workplace, I think it's really, really important to understand that on the first primary level, it really is about managing sensation in the body. And And that, I think people can go, oh, okay, maybe I could do that. And so the way to do that is, I mean, there's multiple ways to do that. One of the ways that I feel is really great to do that is through practicing what's called a felt resource. And a felt resource is something that is inside your body that you can go to bring yourself back to your best self. And there's three. One is grounding, one is centering, and one is orienting. And I'll unpack them a little bit. And as I do, I'm going to encourage you and your listeners to just get a sense to go through it with me and see what happens when
So should I
you
try
do
it
this.
now as you talk me
Yeah.
through it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because this isn't something the felt resource, which I think what I think is so great about them is it isn't something that you necessarily need to like sit down, eyes closed, back straight, 15 minutes, practice this. These are the sort of things that they're best used in the moment and come back and come back. And even if it's 3 or 4 seconds to see what happens. Okay. So the first one is grounding. And that's literally just putting your feet on the floor or imagining that you can feel the connection to the earth. You feel the 6,000 miles of earth underneath of you. Or if you're sitting in a chair, you feel your butt in the chair. You feel your weight supported. And so just notice as you do that, as you feel your weight in your chair, or you feel a more intentional connection to the ground, if something happens to your energy level or to your breath, and you don't.
I feel like I kind of slow down my breathing a little bit.
Yeah, so there's a like, whew.
I kind of calm down a bit.
So that's one. Another felt resource would be to center. And by centering, what I mean is to imagine that you could gather all of your strength or all of your power into the center of you, wherever it is you experience that. So that might be your belly, it might be your heart. And this is one of those things that when we have the fight flight response, often what happens is it feels like our energy dissipates. It just kind of goes bleh, in every direction. So I'd like you to see what it feels like to imagine that you could kind of pull yourself back to your center, bring all your focus there, and just see if that makes sense in the way of does something happen on a sensational level in your body that lets you know it's working?
Well, I just noticed, I took some sugar and caffeine, to power through the day, and so I'm feeling the blood pumping through my veins right now. And I have a question for you. So what happens if you're doing the centering exercise and you don't like it? You don't like what comes up?
So let me come back to that and tell you the third felt resource before I forget, because I probably will, and then I'll come back to that question. Okay, so the third felt resource is grounding, the centering. The third one is orienting, and that one is looking around the space that you're in and taking in the familiar objects, the colors, the textures. It's kind of like the "You Are Here" sticker at a trailhead, where you're just kind of looking around and reminding yourself, okay, this is what's happening. You're expanding your awareness, because the other thing that happens when our nervous system goes into fight or flight is we get tunnel vision, we get beady eyes, right? And all of a sudden, all you can focus on is the thing that's freaking you out. So to just look around the room, and you don't have to do it in a big, way that makes you look like you're, crazy, but just to kind of take in, okay, there's the couch, there's the desk. This is happening. I'm here. So back to your question. It's a really, really great question. What happens if you check in with one of these felt resources? It brings you back into your body and what's happening, and you don't like it. First off, you're a human being. Like, that's what happens for most of us, which is part of why this is hard for people, is for the most part, our internal experience for many of us isn't comfortable. It isn't welcoming. It can even be painful or full of anxiety. And so part of what the felt resource is for is not just to bring you back, but to then also be a container for what's happening. Meaning you will experience discomfort, and, or you might experience discomfort. And if you do, it will not kill you. And here's the thing, because the nervous system responds to discomfort as a threat, it feels like it will kill you.
Yeah.
It feels awful. Nobody likes it. And it won't. And so what if you don't like the experience? Well, one, acknowledging this is the experience I'm having. I don't like it. And it won't kill me.
Hmm.
Can
I add to that?
Please.
Yeah, I love that it's not going to kill you, but it feels like it might.
Early
career experiences, and I think about, oh, I can speak up and mention this, or I can speak up and ask for this, and then immediately my mind goes to, oh, but then they'll think I'm blah blah blah, or they'll push back, and it'll be so embarrassing, and that future projection of how things might go wrong for me was so frightening.
Right, and you spin out, and I think what you just said is super important, Jamie, the future projection. Because that's the thing about the felt resources is they bring you into the present moment. And in the present moment, you might be having a sensation that is uncomfortable. However, mm-hmm. you are not in danger. And, you know, mm-hmm. In a physical sense, you're not in danger. But the other piece that's really important, so you've got the felt resources, and then you have the other piece that I call having your own back. So in order to have your own back, first is you need to be able to feel what's happening in your body. But literally like what's happening is, do I have a heaviness in my stomach? Do I have a tightness in my chest? Are my hands sweaty? You know, do I feel like I'm just dissipating energetically and I've got no skin left anymore? You know, am I disappearing? You need to be able to feel those things first. But the second piece, and this is the most important piece, especially when it's something you don't like feeling, mm-hmm. is meeting yourself with your presence. So that's what the grounding, centering, orienting helps you to do. So meeting yourself with your presence and then adding empathy and kindness. Meaning, the easiest way that I've found to do this, because this is really, really, really hard for most people, because most of us are used to meeting a sensation that's uncomfortable with, well, you shouldn't feel that way, or buck up, or get your shit together. You got to do, you know, like we kind of try to snap ourselves out of it.
Yeah, you might go to your center and start thinking, oh, I need to do some more advocacy.
Right, totally.
Which is a thought I did have.
Yep, that happens too. Like, oh, what's happening here? Right. So the adding empathy piece. So there's the use the felt resource to get present with what's happening in my body. And then there's the second piece of use that presence to essentially say to yourself, of course you feel that way, mm-hmm. right? So you're in the negotiation. You're already anxious because you're asking for something that's a really big ask for you. The person that you're speaking with goes, oh, really? Because I don't think we can do that. And, you know, and they push back. And then all of a sudden, the anxiety increases, the rev in your body increases. And if there is a part of you that can go, oh, this is happening, I don't like that's happening, mm-hmm. and of course it's happening, mm-hmm. right? You affirm the thing that's happening. And if we scan back out, this is what all good relationships are built upon, right? It's empathy and understanding. Being able to say, oh, Jamie, as your friend, of course you feel that way. I understand that. You know, I wouldn't, if you came to me and said, I'm super anxious right now, I wouldn't say, well, figure it out, because this is high stakes. Come on. You know, I would say,
buck up.
Exactly. I'd say, of course you feel that way. This is a big deal. And
yeah, I've never done it before. Or you haven't had so many opportunities to negotiate on behalf of yourself. You always expected to negotiate on behalf of other people.
Right.
So yeah, it feels foreign.
Right.
And yeah, and I love that you're, I guess you're talking about compassion for yourself ultimately, yeah? Because it's like having empathy for yourself as if you're your own friend.
Yeah, kindness. like kindness. This novel idea that you could offer kindness to yourself.
Yeah, I think it's so powerful to be kind to yourself in a negotiation.
Mm-hmm.
It probably is the last thing people think of. They think, oh, I need to have the right words and the power and the leverage. But yeah, what about kindness to yourself?
Yeah. And I want to acknowledge, for a lot of us, it's really, really hard. That's not how we were wired, especially in a high-stakes situation. We were, a lot of us, taught that the harder you are on yourself, the better you will be.
Right. And then there is the gendered stereotype that women are emotional, right, therefore they are not rational decision makers, therefore they're not good negotiators. And so what you're saying sort of just subverts all of that. What you're saying is acknowledging your emotions, allowing for emotions to come up and be present, is actually a power, not a deficit. So, you know, I want to ask you a follow-up question about that, because I think a lot of us, you know, even some of my clients tell me this. They think, oh, I just need to buck up. I just need to, you know, put emotion out of this and just, you know, power through.
Mm-hmm.
And so they want to pretend like they don't experience the anxiety, the fear, right, and the doubt.
Right. So, and the thing is,
what's the problem?
Okay. Yeah. So you can do that. The problem is it disconnects you from yourself. Like, there's a way that, you know, you can't be present to yourself with what's happening and deny what's happening. And when you do that, it means that you also can't be present to the other person. And it means that you can't be present to your inner resources, like all the amazing stuff that you have on your resume that got you to this point where you're negotiating for a higher salary. Like, you don't actually have access to those things if you're trying to deny your own experience in the moment. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So when you deny yourself and you deny your own experience in the moment, you're not present to yourself, and therefore you're also not present to the other side.
Exactly. And so that means not about, like, you have to tell the person, I'm freaking out right now. Nor is it that if you're scared, you need to curl up in a ball and manage that way. It really does work to simply feel the feeling, like the sensation is I'm tight all over. I interpret that as I'm scared. And then just naming it, and on some level, even if it's just like a hand on your heart or a hand on your leg, of course you feel that way. And I'm here, right? Like, being able to say to yourself, and I'm here.
Can I'd love to add to that. I think it's so powerful what you're suggesting, because, our mutual friend, my mentor, Lisa Gates, she always talks about the power of naming the elephant in the room.
Right.
And sometimes the elephant, you know, it's not visible. It's not something that we can perceive with our eyes, but it's something that we feel with our intuition. Mm-hmm. And so being able to, you know, name that feeling, let's say you are negotiating with a bully and there's, you know, implying some very nasty things, but not making it explicit, right? So there's an elephant in the room. You feel the feeling of having been, put down, right? And being able to tap into that feeling and naming that.
Mm-hmm.
Say, hey, you know, I'm surprised you would say something like that and not realize that would really hurt my feelings.
Right. Right.
Yeah, that's a kind of naming the elephant.
And naming the elephant, it's so great. Naming the elephant, when it comes to it being your own experience, is a way of really standing for yourself. Having your back.
Right.
You know, and that's what the negotiation process is in the first place, right? This is just the second layer to that.
Right. Yeah. And it just deepens it and makes you more present. And more present you are, better questions you can ask, more information you can gather.
Mm-hmm.
And that way you gain more leverage.
Yeah. And the less your nervous system is hijacking your brain, the more you can have access to all your best qualities.
Yeah. Beautiful. It's so true. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that you're fully present. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So another follow-up question is, for a lot of my clients and this audience, we tend to defer to other people's comfort or happiness. I am a recovering extreme people pleaser.
Me too.
Yeah, yeah. And we do this by overdoing, you know, not setting boundaries, not asking for what you're worth, not saying no when you don't wanna, saying yes instead of no. So it seems that becoming more aware of your feelings would just make you vulnerable and disempowered.
Yeah.
I think a misconception. So I love to hear from you. Why is that not true?
Right. Yeah. It is a widely held misconception because we just don't know a better way. Right. And so this has kind of been spread as this is true. So to answer that, I'm going to also step back again and put it in context. So every human being needs to feel, has three needs. They need to feel like they're safe. They need to feel like they belong, and they need to feel like they matter. So safety, belonging, and mattering. All of us need these. And we get these needs met or don't through relationship with others. And how we got them met or didn't growing up greatly influences how we feel about ourselves and how we feel about the fact that we have feelings. So though we're relational beings, right? And so we get safety, belonging, mattering from other people. And that's great. But it's also really important to be able to give it to yourself, to be able to feel that you can offer yourself safety, belonging, and mattering. Because to the extent that you can't offer that to yourself, that's when, like you said, you try to either please others or control them, because that's the opposite. You either please or control others. You don't have any boundaries, or you have too many and you keep people at bay. Or this is where addictive behaviors come in, or where just self-criticism, self-hatred comes in. And so why am I saying all this in relationship to your question? That is, it is because when you acknowledge how you feel, like when you can say the sensation is this, the emotion is this, of course I feel that way. That is a way of offering yourself a felt sense of I am safe, I belong, and I matter. Does that make sense? How that, like literally in your body, if you were to say to yourself, of course you're scared, Jamie, there's a way that you're there with yourself. So you feel safe. You're acknowledging and affirming how you feel. So you feel like you matter, and you're being, you know, putting that together. There's a sense of like, I'm okay. I belong. This is regardless of whether this bully or this not bully who is pushing back, is giving me what I want in terms of feeling safe, belonging, or mattering, I can do it for myself. And what happens is when you get that for yourself, you don't do all the weird strategic behaviors that we do to try to get them from someone.
Right. I just really love how profound and simple that was.
Yeah.
It's simply, acknowledging yourself and that is the statement. Simply acknowledge how you feel in that moment. And I guess what you're saying is allow yourself to feel all the feels, right?
Yeah. Well, in the moment, this is what part of what makes this challenging is in the moment. If you're in the office with your boss and you're negotiating, you can't actually like drop in and feel the feels entirely. But you can affirm them. You can affirm that they're there and they're real. And then it's going to still be in your system, right? And you walk out of the room and you go into the bathroom and you get into a stall and you just kind of shake a little bit. Or you have a cry. Or you punch at the air. Or whatever it is that you need to do to start actually running the emotions through your body as opposed to just acknowledging that they're there.
I see. So there is a process. It's not just like in the moment, split second saying, oh, I feel these things. There you go. I'm done.
Right.
You allow yourself the full process of the experience of the body sensation.
Yeah. And the thing is it might be done in the moment, right? But if it's an intense sensation, if it's an intense experience, it's going to still be there when you leave the room, right? That's why you leave the room and then you go back to your desk and you feel all jacked up and you can't quite concentrate and you're a little fidgety, right? Because that all of that energy, all of that anxiety is still in your body. So that's an opportunity, maybe now that you're not in the heat of the moment with someone there with you, you just, again, ground or center orient. One of them will work for you. Like for most people, one of them is easier than the other. So pick the one that helps you to go, I'm here in my body, maybe a hand on your chest and just go, I am anxious. And of course I feel that way. And just kind of let yourself feel it as a feeling, as emotion. So it, but it all comes back to a relationship with yourself, really, that empathic and warm and kind. And it isn't, it's something that's felt, not cerebral.
Got it. It's literally a sensation in your body.
Yeah. It's like, what if your best friend came and sat down next to you and put her hand on your leg and said, of course you feel that way. Like you feel it.
Yeah.
That's what we're trying to offer ourselves.
Is there a way for people to cope with that resistance? You know, we've been trained from such a young age to repress certain emotions, right? I'm Asian, so in the Asian culture, there's a lot of that emotion suppression, right? And also we're conditioned to say certain things in certain situations, all different ways of sort of pushing down your emotions. Yeah. And so do you have a suggestion for people who are, let's say, who are so accustomed to pushing down anger?
Yeah. Oh my gosh, this is one of my favorite questions. I'm so happy you asked this. Because most of us are in some form of resistance most of the time, right? Like most of us have been conditioned culturally and in our family to believe that emotions are just not the greatest things ever and we should probably not have them. So most of us are in resistance. And what I've found, the best way to work with that is first, acknowledge you're there. So that's typically like most of us at this point in our life know what we do to try and avoid feeling, right? Mm. We work long hours or we watch long hours of Netflix or we eat chocolate or we go grab a drink or
we do drugs.
Like whatever, most of us know what our thing is that we do to try and manage. And so if you can catch yourself in one of those behaviors, or you can catch yourself in that feeling of, I feel nothing, right? Where you go to look in your body and you go to see what you feel and you feel nothing. All you feel is just pure tightness everywhere. The way to work with that is to say to yourself, I don't want to feel this. And what that does is brings you back to being aligned with what's true in your body's experience, which is in your body, you are currently in resistance. You are in fight, flight, or shutdown. Yeah. And if you can name, no, I don't want to do this. I don't want to go there. I don't want to feel this. You don't even have to know what it is that you don't want to feel. All you need to know is that your nervous system right now is telling you no. I don't want this.
So acknowledge the resistance.
Acknowledge it. And what happens is one of two things. Yeah. Either you all of a sudden become aware of the thing that you didn't want to feel and you're there with yourself feeling it because it kind of sneaks up on you, right? Or you're there feeling the no. But either way, you haven't abandoned yourself. You haven't left your resources, because you can still, or anger, like you can be angry and present the same way that you can be resistant and present. And we're just used to resistance looking like I'm not going to be present.
What might that look like? You're angry and you're present to it.
Good question. So anger typically in our bodies feels like heat. It feels like energy coursing through us. It feels like tightness. And so to be present to that is to acknowledge I'm hot, my hands are gripping, and I've got a lot of energy in me, and I'm angry. Mm. And to allow that sensation to happen in your body, and you're present with it. So I often talk with my clients about this in terms of, especially when it comes to anger, I talk about it in terms of wattage. If you think of yourself as a light bulb, who's typically a 60 watt light bulb, right? And then somebody pokes the bear and you get angry. And all of a sudden, the sensations in your body feel like they're 120 watts. And what we want to do is get out of there. That's the nervous system response, fight, flight, freeze. This is too much wattage. I can't handle this. But you can actually, through using the felt resources and being present with yourself, learn that wattage is just wattage. Like the same way that discomfort is just discomfort. It will not blow your circuitry. You can stand heat. You can stand tight tension. And then the interpretation of that is anger. And yes, you might have to, you know, acknowledge and feel the anger when you're outside of this and outside of the situation. But in the situation, if you're with a boss and they've said something that puts you down and you get fired up right away, you can be with the sensation of I'm fired up and have it not come out your mouth as something you wish you wouldn't say.
Yeah, that reminds me of something you said earlier about how we're containers of emotion. So it's kind of like taking yourself from inside that boiling pot into realizing, no, I'm the pot that holds this boiling water.
Right. And the big thing is that none of this is about making the emotion go away. And I think so much of the new age or holistic kind of approaches to things is like, you shouldn't feel emotions, or there's negative emotions. And I don't like to think of emotions as negative or positive. I like to think of them as uncomfortable or pleasant, right? Mm-hmm. And you don't have to get rid of the ones that are uncomfortable. You just use your presence, that felt sense of yourself, to help you regulate how much of that is in your awareness versus how much of I'm grounded, I'm centered, I'm here in this space, I have resources, I belong here, I matter, I'm safe, right? Like the emotion doesn't go away, but the other things, you just turn the volume up on them.
Mm. Well, this is really tremendous. This is very important because I do causal coaching and I help people deal with their mindsets and improve upon them. And when you work with what's in your mind, that always generates emotion. And some of them are very uncomfortable, like doubt, anxiety, fear. So I think the felt resources that you shared with us and reminding ourselves that we are safe, that we do belong to ourselves, and that we matter to ourselves, it's so, you know, it's so powerful. I think it changes everything.
It really, really does. So, I say that all the time.
Yeah. Thank you. So where can our audience learn more about what you do and your services?
I have a website and it is jay-fields.com. So fields.com. And on there, you can learn about the individual coaching I do and the trainings that I do at organizations. And there's a recorded guided meditation for the felt resources if you want to go back through them. And there's a bunch of writing and articles about different aspects of having your own back.
Awesome. And Jay, I'm a huge fan of your writing. I love the book, Teaching People, Not Poses. I found it very relevant for me, even though I don't teach yoga, I teach negotiation. You know, being yourself is a great lesson to be reminded of. So thank you so much for your time again. And I will talk with you soon.
Great. Thank you so much. I'm so grateful for this. Have a great day.
All right. You too.